You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barrett, where we take a look at the best practices from the best practices all over. And if you've been paying attention in the world of aesthetic dentistry and composites and how to make patients' lives better, and you've been seeing some of this stuff that these unbelievable people and clinicians do, then you know my guest, Dr. Marcos Vargas, who is crazy brilliant. Like crazy brilliant, and you're gonna see that. And we're gonna be talking about tips for anterior composites, because you know this, if you're a dentist and you can figure this out and preserve great tooth structure for these amazing patients, they're gonna come back again and again and again, and they're gonna send their friends, and they're gonna go, this guy's a magician, or this girl's a magician. And you're going to build an incredible reputation. And so you're going to meet the magician here in just a second. I'll just say this. If you guys are listening, we got a lot of dental students watching, a lot of young dentists watching. I just want to say thank you. I'm just so grateful. I don't even know how this works. We do all this video. We've been producing video. You guys watch a little bit of it, but you download the audios like crazy. And now I got people all overseas listening and get all these messages. So just thank you, and keep sharing it with your friends, and keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see so I can get amazing people on like Marcos. Now, Marcos, I know you. Now, wait. I just got to say this. So I knew of you, and I had seen you speak before a few times. And then when the pandemic hit, that's when you really just stepped up. And I would just say you're just an incredible, gracious human being. And we were introduced formally through a great friend, Dr. Bob Margis. No, Bob, now I'll just tell you, Bob calls me. He's like, okay, dude, we got to get Marcos. I'm like, oh, Marcos, the one guy. He's like, no, you need to understand. He is like, he's the yin to my yang. Like, I make it look easy. He does all the work that makes me look good. I'm like, well, we got to get him on. And then when we got you on, people were like, this is unbelievable. Now, I want people to know who you are. So give us a little backstory. Who is Dr. Marcos Vargas? Who are you and what do you do?
All right. Hey, thank you for having me here first. It's just kind of humbling with all the people that you have. And so I'm excited, and I thank you very much again for your invitation to speak to so many people that you have, your followers. In a nutshell, you know, I'm a guy from Peru. I was born in Peru in 1963, just to tell you, just about age myself there. Went to school in Peru, high school, dental school. Came to the States to get a specialty. Came here to Iowa, got my degree, my master's degree, and my specialty in operative dentistry. Where Bob Margis, you know, my brother from another mother, mm-hmm. was one of my teachers. And when you have a teacher that amazing, among the so many great teachers that I have to mention, Jerry Dennehy, Ed Swift, Newton Fall, so many people, you know, friends that have been here, and Bob. So, you know, I learned so much in here. I was just amazed, blown out of the water with all the operative composites in that time that was kind of coming up. And then I decided to, well, they offered me a job, and it's like, I didn't know for a while I'm going to go back to Peru, stay, you know. And then with my wife in that time, we say, what we should do? And then we say, well, let's stay a couple of years in Iowa, and then we can still can go home, you know. That was 28 years ago. And I'm still in Iowa 28 years ago. Iowa is home. I love it here. People is extraordinary. I had a bunch of mentors and teachers and friends here that, again, it's home. I love it here at the university. Maybe I have chances to go other places, but Iowa's home is nothing like home. Yeah. That's kind of me. You know, people ask me, when you say, that's my little bit of my story, why I end up in Iowa. And I define myself as a father first, as a husband, as a teacher third, and then as a dentist four. That's how I kind of define myself. So teaching is one of my passions. And so I've been teaching for 28 years here at Iowa.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Well, and you guys are already getting, if you're listening, you're already getting a glimpse of who this guy is. And you're going to see not only is he a great human being, and an amazing dentist. And so I'm just glad you're here because I know you're changing a lot of people's lives. And I'm going to also say this. If you have a study club and you haven't had Marcus speak to your study club, you're crazy. He's a genius. So if you're looking for a phenomenal speaker, he's your guy. Now, I do want to talk about anterior composites. Now, I'm a big fan. Big fan. Let's talk about the why. We're going to get into tips for anterior composites. But, Marcos, tell us the trend. And if I'm a young dentist listening to this, why do I need to really understand where we are in the world with anterior composites?
Oh, you know, anterior composite is one of those materials with the proper techniques to really save tooth structure. You know, it's just so conservative, the nature of it. Preparations are minimal preparation if needed. So I think the dentistry is moving in that direction, conservative dentistry. We've been moving for a while, and that movement has accelerated, you know. So I think everybody needs to know composites. When you tell your patient you are going to do something very conservative, they immediately, you know, they perk up and say, I like that, you know. Because probably from their physicians and medicine care, things are getting more conservative, like surgeries are getting much smaller, getting to robotics and things like that. They know that the minimal invasive is better. So that trend is catching up in dentistry too. So patients know, and they really, it's like, oh, conservative, you want to save my tooth or you want to save my tooth structure. That's great. So I think nowadays, I think we should be looking into provide that care to our patient, minimal invasive care, preventive care in all aspects, I think.
Yeah. And so I'm going to totally piggyback on that because I've been in this great profession for 25 years. And I remember getting started. A lot of dentists thought, well, I can only make money when I'm cranking down these teeth. So they'd prep all these uppers and prep all these lowers. And now, you know, and some of that stuff, given the right circumstances, we can make a great argument for, you know, we talked about this with Dr. Bob Margers, for a tooth preservation fee, you know, and I have friends. Now, I say this to my friends all the time. You're going to get a lot of opinions. There are some unbelievable dentists out there where you're not going to have to trim down all this virgin tooth structure to achieve the outcome that you're going to want to make. And they go and... Can you argue to this, Marcus? They don't have to charge less. Some dentists are like, well, if I do composites, I'm not going to make any money. No, that's not true. You can remember the patient is invested in an outcome. And one more thing I'll just throw into the room that I'd love for you to cut. These materials are exponentially better than they were 4 or 5 years ago. Like crazy better. Don't you agree?
I agree with that. You know, new materials keep coming up. New materials are coming up, new techniques coming up. But the materials, you know, we don't use a material that was developed by Boeing, you know, methylmethacrylate or polymethylmethacrylate or BSGMA. It's still some of the same chemistry, similar, but improved. The particle size improve. Tremendous materials we have available nowadays and can keep getting better. Better color stability, they polish better, they last longer. So all those things, I agree that preservation, save to the structure is primordial.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is just a great opportunity in dentistry. And so I want to just kind of get in the mind of an expert. You know, you're an artist. You're a brilliant artist. And I'm just telling you guys, you got to check out his stuff. So just teach me what happens in, how do we approach anterior aesthetics? You know, because really there are dentists that I talk to that it can be a confidence issue, you know, lower anterior. So just help me prepare my brain for how do you approach anterior aesthetics?
I think about, always think about the face, the smile, and then the teeth from the outside to the inside. That face frame the lips frame the teeth, and the teeth are framed not only by the lips, but also by the gingiva. So if we look at that from that point of view, I think that's number one. Sometimes in the past, we look at just the teeth, correct? We just look at the teeth and nothing, the rest wasn't that important. But patients come to you for aesthetics, and aesthetics is not on the tooth itself. It's in the how all teeth fit together, the centrals, the laterals, and the canines, and the premolars, and the buccal arch, how they fit together, where they are with respect to the gingiva, or how the gingiva comes down, how the lips move when the patient is smile, how they show how the lip moves and shows the teeth, and how that smile fits on the face. So that's how I think, as somebody that is new in the dentistry, need to look into it from the face in as a tip number one.
Yeah. And then the people you mentioned earlier, I mean, when you're talking about a Newton Fall, you know, you're hanging around Bob Marsh, like that's the who's who of how teeth fit into the face. And, you know, they don't have egos. They're just like, when they say something, they're simplifiers. They can say that you're like, that is brilliant. And so it's not so much what they do. It's how they think about how teeth fit in the face and aesthetics. And then I also want to know, like, okay, so if I'm a dentist and I'm going down this path, Marcos, how do you talk to patients about anterior composites? So give me some aspect of how you have that discussion. How do you introduce it? How do you talk to patients?
All right. So usually a patient will come with a very specific, well, aesthetics can be small, it can be big, right? So let me give you a couple of scenarios. One is when the patient knows very specific what they do not like. Example, I do not like the space between my front two teeth, right? Or somebody can say, I don't like my smile, right? So very different. And very specific, the space with the diastema between the two front teeth is very specific. So they already know exactly what they come from for to the office. And in the other side, you have the people that has these, well, I want to have a better smile. So it's a very different approach that I have. Usually in the patient that have a small diastema, let's say that I will probably grab a little composite, put them in the mouth, just mock it up, 3-second cure, given the mirror. Now, let's do a little parenthesis because I think that's a tip that I want to give you there, the mirror. I learned a long time ago, never, never give the patient to the mirror.
Why?
Always you hold it for them and an arm's distance, right? And it's your arm distance, not the patient's. Because you know what they do, right? They immediately grab the mirror, put it this close, right, like about an inch from their face, and they start looking at it. And you want to keep showing from afar. Why? Because again, the aesthetics is from the face to the lip to the teeth. So you want them to see their face, not specifically their teeth. So that's never, never give the patient to the mirror to the patient ever.
Yeah.
All right?
So that's a great point. I would guess that 95% of the dentists that are listening to this, they give the patient to the mirror. Right?
Yes, exactly right. And then that's what I tell my students. Never, never, never give the mirror to the patient. Because immediately they become critical instead of emotionally the smile when they see a big change with that small diastema. So immediately that's a tip that I can give you there. Never, never give the patient the mirror to the patient. So then I'm showing and then show him the smile, the face, and they immediately, perfect, when do we do it? Can we do it today? And then I say, well, you know, let's think about this. There's maybe a couple of ways to close that space. Maybe one is use composite. And the other one may be very conservative porcelain veneers. And then we have the conversation, what are the pros of the veneers, what are the pros of the composite, an anti-conservative. I don't have to remove your tooth. Cost, longevity. We discuss all those things with the patient, and the patient makes their mind which one did they want, right? Mm-hmm. Also, we need to think about the patient habits. Smokers, heavy coffee drinkers, wine drinkers. Composites are not going to last that long. So based on that information that I have from the patient, I may make a suggestion. I say, well, because you are a heavy smoker, drinker, wine drinker, I might steer you to the porcelain, right? Even though porcelain might have to reduce a little bit your teeth, I think longevity in your case, that's the way when I want to go. Or, well, you don't drink coffee, you are very good with your hygiene, you don't smoke. Well, I think resins probably will be a better alternative to you.
Yeah, let me be devil's advocate. So the worn dentition is a very popular conversation in dentistry. But Dr. Vargas, I don't grind my teeth. So, and then take me inside the clinical mind. Like when you talk about anterior composites and the effect of these forces and wear, what are you seeing from a longevity and even short-term aspect of that?
I think that's so important too. I'm glad you say that about something about that, because I'm thinking occlusion, right? And I'm looking, and I always, when I explain to, when I lecture up to my students, I say, let's think about the material we're choosing here. And we choose based on aesthetics and in function. So in that case that I tell you over the diastema, we're looking at a situation and probably the occlusion is like a normal occlusion, no parafunction, nice balance, and then the composite will last for a very long time. Now, I have to balance my aesthetic with the function. If I have a patient that really, a lot of part of function, you see wear facets, and even you might have told the patient that they need a rehabilitation or a mouth guard, they haven't gone there. Well, I don't want to do composites because my composites are weaker than my ceramics. So I have to have that. I have to have that in account. I have a count for function. So important. So I'm glad you brought it up because that's part of that aesthetic. Function and aesthetic, and you make a balance between both.
Yeah. Now go back. What if I'm the patient that sits in your chair and says, I don't know what I don't like. I just don't like it. Can you take me beyond that hurdle? If it's not just this brown crooked, I don't like the brown crooked. And I just say to you, I don't know what I don't like. So help me think through that one.
All right. That's the other side, right? We talk about the diastema. You told him about the cost and approach the cost. And, you know, just to finish that one with a small diastema or diastema, a very specific, I will talk about cost and how I charge this is an aesthetic procedure. I won't charge as a class four, because if I'm charging at a class four, it might be in the insurance. Insurance doesn't pay for aesthetics. The insurance might dictate how much, may want to dictate how much I get paid for it, but it's an aesthetic procedure. That to me is a aesthetic procedure. So I charge it as a not a fourth surface composite, but a resin, direct resin veneer. Now, let's move, because I think it's important to talk about, you know, how you approach patients too, right?
With cost, for sure. Like that.
So let's talk about the other case that you said, I don't know what I don't like about my smile. And then that's kind of, okay. Then I think as a humans, we always think about what is the perfect smile, right? So, but the perfect smile is different from everybody because everybody has different gums, different lips, and different faces. So that's what I mentioned before. Everything comes from the face in. So I will take photographs. That patient, I say, well, let me look. Let me see what I can do in your particular case to give you maybe the smile that you want to have. So I will, that case, take a series of photographs. The face at repose. Smiling, forced smile, and I start looking at lip mobility, things like that. Photographs, I will take models and maybe a couple of scans, upper and lower, scan the bite, put them in the computer, trace some lines that I think is going to be good, kind of like a digital smile analysis. I do that a lot. And just give it a shout out here to Bill Robbins when, yeah, you know, he talks about, you know, global diagnosis. I feel everybody's here, Bill, and he's a great teacher, friend of mine, you know, great educator. You should have him before me, no doubt about it, or Bob before me. But anyway, global diagnosis, it's right there up top with anything that is aesthetics. So with the lines, I back in the computer, trace some lines, go and do a digital WhatsApp, maybe do a printout, and do a mock-up in the patient's mouth to kind of guess, or not, not guess, but gauge what it is that I think in that face fits good. Yeah. So I do that mock-up, and then I show in the mirror far away or do a video or something like that. And then it's like I gauge how they like what I think is going to fit in their mouth, right, in their face. And I will say 9 out of 10 or even 19 out of 20 people is like, oh, my God, I didn't know I could look like this, right? And then, okay, then you tell them for this to get to where you are right now, we might need to do ortho. We might need to do perio, meaning move your teeth, move your gums, do crowns, composites, porcelain veneers to get you here. And this is the plan that I have for you if you want to get in here. And a lot of people goes that route. Now, unfortunately, there is that 1 out of 20 that they look at him, even though you show with the mirror far away, and they just don't, they look at you, it's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's what I want. Those are, I'm going to tell everybody, those are the ones that you want to stay away from. Immediately, if your mock-up that you think if good fits good in those lips, in that face, they don't like, I say to them, you know, yes, I obviously I'm not making you happy. So maybe my knowledge is not as high for the requirements that you are asking me to do. So maybe I'm not the dentist for you. Mm-hmm. And believe me, when I have those patients, they say, thank you very much for letting me know that. Where do you recommend me to go? And I say, I don't recommend anybody.
You send them over to Bob's practice, don't you? Bob Margis, like this.
That's what I should
hey,
do.
Incoming, Bob. Right? That's kind that's of funny, but it's actually true in some respects. But I love that. I absolutely. Now, wait, Marcus, go back to that. Okay, I love what you're saying. And Bill Robbins, dear friend of all of ours, totally agree. Can you, if I'm a young dentist, give me some perspective on how much time you're taking to do all this? Because when you get started in digital smile design, it's going to take you a while. But my, you know, some young dentists might be listening to this going, Marcus, that is a lot of time. Like, are you having the patients back? Are you doing that in a first visit? How much time are you doing in each one of these visits? Because I'd love to know how you think.
Yeah. Like, go back to the case of the small diastem. I mock it up immediately. It takes me 3 minutes to do it. That easy one, right?
Okay.
Those are easy to do immediately fast. The ones that take me all the time, it's like I'm going to say, you probably can send it to your lab. Right? And there needs to be a cost associated to it. Now, when I think about it is, you know, if I'm thinking that 19 out of 20 times or 18 out of 20 times, the patient is going to accept my treatment, I don't charge for that digital smile design, that prototype, that concept, that blueprint, because it helps me and it's going to be incorporated in the cost of the treatment. So I don't charge for that. And also at the same time, it helps me to eliminate the person that one or two don't want treatment or I won't be able to be happy because I don't want to go that route because that's a nightmare. So that's what I do. So at the beginning, it's going to take you a little longer, or going back to your question, a little longer to take a couple of impressions, but your assistants can take impressions. You can take photos. Once you start practicing and taking the right photos, it's much easier. There are software out there that can help you to do this digital smile design. You can send it to your laboratory, ask them to do a wax up. If they are not digital, they will do a wax up for you. Most lab, I think most lab are ahead of dentists. They are more digital than none. So they are going to help you with all this. Just send a couple of impressions, photos. They know what they are doing. They're doing about digital smile design. So don't be afraid of this because this one works for you. For the dentist, young dentist, learn smile design because it's not difficult. It's just what it fits in the lips and in the face. Go back to global diagnosis from Bill Robbins. That helps a lot. A combination with Chris Coachman, digital smile design. And that, to me, has been an eye-opening for my patients, the way I approach it.
Yeah, I love what you're saying because, I mean, if you step out of dentistry for a second, you wouldn't remodel your kitchen with somebody going, hey, let me just do all this. You'd want to see a finished picture. You wouldn't buy a house without seeing a finished picture, and you certainly wouldn't do your landscape if you were going to invest a considerable amount without seeing the finished product and just jumping blindly. What you're talking about allows people, patients most specifically, to see the possibilities of what the benefit of the treatment might be for them long term, and it's brilliant. Now, I do want to ask you, like, okay, so now we've gotten to the point where we're talking to the patient about treatment. Let's actually go into the treatment planning process of anterior composites. How does the mind of a master like yours think when it comes to treatment planning?
All right. So based on that blueprint that I have, kind of in my mind, I'm thinking I have this blueprint. So I have the teeth in certain position that I want to put them in different positions. And then I need to think about that. How I put this teeth that I have in the place that I want. And that usually, if I need to move it, that means ortho. Right, so I'm thinking, if I need to, if my wax up or the wax up that the laboratory sent me is not in the same place where the tooth is, that means that I have to move the tooth to that position to make it happen first, right? And then the same with the gum. If the gum is not there, then I have to do something about it. Maybe it's too much, too excess, too much gum covering the teeth. Perio needs to get involved and need to cut it. And then if the teeth are not the size in the place that I want him, I have to modify and make it bigger. Some cases you might have to do ortho and then slenderize teeth to fit in the place you want him. They say you have a teeth that are flare out, you know, do you want to put them in the arch? You might have to slenderize to make it, put them in. So that's how you think about it. I don't remember when, and I like to give credit to the people that I hear from. It's kind of like a denture wax up. You put them in the patient's mouth and then, oh, the tooth is too low. What do? We melt the wax and push the tooth. That's ortho. Oh, my tooth is too short, but it's in the right position. Oh, it's not exposing enough tooth. I have to melt the wax, remove the wax so I can show more tooth. That's perio, right? Oh, my tooth is too small. Well, I need to change the tooth to make it put a bigger tooth. That means, well, in a tooth, you can do a crown, you can do a veneer, you can do composites. So that's how I approach some of those things when I think about how I get from point A to point B.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, so we've treatment planned it. We've discussed it. I'm one of the patients that's like, let's do it. Any treatment tips? Now we're at the day we're actually going to do it. You know, give us some insight on, like, I also want to know, like, when do you schedule these procedures specifically at any time of the day? Does it matter to you? How do you set them up on the day that you actually do them? Anything specific?
You know, I just really what we do is just set them up when there's time to do it. I don't necessarily do it early in the morning or early in the afternoon. Whenever we can fit them in, we fit them in. I think the day, my opinion, I need to be fit, prepared, ready all day long. So we don't do it. You know, I have a great assistant that she's amazing. You know, when we're working, I am always saying to her, what do you see from that side? What do you see from your side? So then she gives some tips from this side, from that side. And we have kind of a ongoing scene going on, going back and forth with the things that we do and try to keep it consistent. So that's kind of that we do the day of the appointment. You know, I will explain to the patient, what am I going to do? In a nutshell, this is what we're going to do. We're going to give you a little gel, numb your gums. We're going to put this rubber dam, and I stretch a rubber dam, make a hole, put them in, clean your teeth, and then just going to clean them and put this composite, this bonding that we talk about it. Yeah. So that's how you kind of approach it.
Yeah, and the cool thing about doing great anterior composites is it's something you can build. You know, you can actually build it to the result where you and the patient meet. It's not like it's a look. Well, this is, I'm Captain Obvious here when I'm saying this. You know, you're not seating something that's complete already and we're just going to deal with it and make some adjustments. It's something you can build with the patient. If the patient doesn't like it, we can make a little bit of adjustment here. We can add. And so that becomes a fun part of it, correct?
You know, I like to think about it that when I'm done, I don't want to ask the patient, what do you think? It's too square? I don't necessarily go that way, because once you ask him those questions, that's when you have to give him the mirror, and they put the mirror this close. So I don't go there. Yeah. We try not to go there. I build it up the best of my abilities. Looks good to me. A nice embrasure, nice line angles. And we can talk about anatomy, right? That's primordial. Another tip for everybody at the young dentist is that really want to learn aesthetics, learn dental anatomy, that's, you know, line angles, everything that you have to know, because when you're doing direct composites, that's what is going to make the difference between you and somebody else. The anatomy, the finesse you do when you are building those teeth.
Yeah.
And the finishing and polishing, that to me is another tip, learn dental anatomy.
Do you think a lot of, because you're in touch with a lot of young dentists, you think they skip over the anatomy, or they just don't give it the importance that it deserves in the anterior composite thought process?
I don't know if they don't, you know, I think I not defending dental students, but, you know, in 4 years, the knowledge of dentistry in the last 20 years is increased exponentially.
Right.
So we're trying to cram so much information to these kids anymore that I don't know if my brain will be able to get it, you know, when I was at that age. So they get to get so much that is difficult to pay a lot of attention. But now you are a dentist and you want to be into aesthetics. I think that's when you need to go back and say, I need to learn dental anatomy like I didn't learn it in dental school.
Yeah. So go back to, so if I'm a dentist and I'm listening and I haven't been around a dental school in a while, and you know, and there's all this talk about turning dental school from 4 years to 3 years, but how much are they teaching on anterior composites right now in dental school? I'm just curious. Is it a lot?
Well, in Iowa, we teach a lot of it. You know, it's taught since the freshman year. They have waxing, dental anatomy. They do composites. They have in the second year, steady exercises, diastema closure, class fours, in an aesthetic manner. And in the third year, they get to do some cases, and the fourth year, they get to do some cases too. So I would say Iowa is one of the places that we do teach as much as we can.
Yeah, that's awesome. That is awesome. So any last thoughts you have on anterior composites? This isn't going away. This isn't going to disappear in dentistry. What would you say about the future? And it's anyone's guess of what composites is going to look like in the future. What's your guess?
My guess is just, it's not going away. It's been a little more prevalent. You know, I've noticed since the pandemic started, after the pandemic, the restart. And I think it's happened to every dentist. We are so busy. My next appointment is April, May next year. It's just so busy. And people, unbelievably, for aesthetics, how much they want aesthetics. And composites and everything that is aesthetics, they want it. They want it now. So learn composites, because it's going to be a tool in your armamentarium that is going to save you, that is going to take you, that is going to make your patients happy, that is going to make your practice a thrive for sure.
Yeah, and I'll introduce one more complexity. Patients are going to be living longer now, too. You know, it's estimated that 1 in 3 babies will actually live to be 100. And so this anterior, you know, so we're going to have to learn, you know, people are all going to have to eat. We're going to have to learn how to do better dentistry that can make it through these forces. So, and there's a good chance as the materials get better, they're going to come back to you again and again and again. If you can manage their expectations around how long it truly will last, this is one of those services you'll be able to provide to people forever, you know, for the rest of their lives, correct?
Absolutely. We always think about the cycle of the tooth, right? We start doing a filling, and then we do a bigger filling, then a crown, then a root canal, then we lose a tooth, then an implant. You know what I mean? So once we start the clock goes. But now, like you say, we have 100 years that teeth has to live, well, not 100, but maybe 80, right? Versus 60 in the past. So now the later you start that clock, the better you are. So think about bonding. When you're doing bonding, you are just not starting the clock yet, because it's something that is on top of the tooth. So you haven't started the clock. So now you think about that, you get the treatment of the patient, but you are saving those teeth for the later part of that clock. So I think you're prolonging the life of the tooth, especially like you say, 1 in 3 is going to lead to 100. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Yeah, so I want people to see what you do. So let's say I'm a young dentist, listen to this, or even a practicing dentist who's been over. Marcos, how do I find out what you do? You're involved in a lot of cool stuff. How do I find you? Where do I start if I want to see what you do?
You know what? I lectured quite a few study clubs, Seattle study clubs. I do some of them. I do in certain meetings. I will be at the Rocky Mountain Dental Convention in 2022. I will be in California in the CDA doing hands-on exercises. So, and then we have a course with Bob Marges that are doing in Phil and Dental Seminars, that is Composite Mastery Online. That's another good course that we have like 9 modules for the people to learn. And we do have videos. We have monthly webinars and we do demonstrations. And I think that's what is neat that we have. We do the live demonstrations. And so people can see what we do. Bob does it, I do it, and we have lectures. So that's a cool way to learn too.
Yeah, and you're being pretty humble, because I was talking to Bob a couple of days ago about what you guys are doing with Phelan Dental Center. It sounds amazing. So we'll put a link in there. And I know what Phelan's doing up there. He's doing an unbelievable job. And he's a master at being able to deliver really high quality, regular education. So I'm going to encourage you guys to check that out. And again, if you're a study club director and you haven't had Marcos on, you're crazy, you know, like get him on. So, Marcos, I am just so grateful to call you my friend. Thank you for constantly showing up and adding some great thoughts. And I'd love to have you back. Actually, I'd love to have you and Bob back and share.
Okay. I love that. I'd love to do that with Bob for sure.
You got it. And we'll share some great stories. And I'll find out if you're getting all the crazy patients that you don't want to treat, and you're just sitting, because he's too nice. He can't say no to anybody else. He'll say yes to everybody. You know, is that? We'll find out if that's true. So awesome. 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 So stick around, Marcos, while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thanks for being on here today, buddy. Really appreciate you. Thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. And again, we're just so grateful. I mean, it's awesome what you guys have suggested. A lot of you just showing up, helping out, sharing thoughts. Please keep sending us suggestions for things that you want to see. As you already have seen, I'm going to have Marcos back again and again and again. And let us know what you'd like us to ask him. That's the cool part about this show. I don't have to be the smartest person. You guys send us the tough questions and we'll have Marcos on and we'll get him to answer all the questions. So really appreciate you guys being on. And until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.